Let's take a close look at what's happening in markets action with our guest Ashish Chanda, founder and CEO of Crystal, who joins from Singapore. Ashish, thanks for being with us. I mean, we're seeing a lot of defensiveness across the equity space, and I think we can chalk this up to a lot more hawkish Fed speak. Is there some point in the not too distant future where you see things kind of reaching a peak insofar as interest rate concerns are?
Yeah, surely. I think the bar has been raised again. So as the data came out on inflation as well as the payrolls this month, it clearly said that whatever the Fed was expecting in terms of the dots next year, that has been moved up. But we still think that by Q1 2023, we should see a peak in the rate hikes, probably closer to 4.75 or 5%.
Do you think that we have accurately priced in? We think we've priced in these aggressive tightening cycles, but what's happening on the geopolitical front as well? I mean, what we've seen in the UK has shown how much volatility can happen in markets. How much is priced in terms of some of the other geopolitical risks?
I think what is notable is that the inflation is more structural and not something that may come down that easily. It's not just the supply side. It's also what the geopolitics or kind of export restrictions being imposed between countries. And you see that, yes, if there is any kind of a fiscal issue or bad planning that's coming out from the governments, it leads to what's happening in the UK. I don't think there's a lot of it being priced in because the markets are hoping that sanity prevails and the governments are taking the better steps. But I think the market is still underpricing the kind of risks that could happen coming out of geopolitics.
What about the risk of recession? I mean, if we talk about maybe if you're right, let's say 4.75 to 5% topping out in the first quarter of next year, and so far as Fed funds are concerned, has the market fully discounted the likelihood that we're going to have much, much slower growth? Let's call it a contraction.
See, with each rate hike, the probability of recession goes higher and higher. And we are seeing the cracks happening in tech sectors. We're seeing in what's happening in the mortgages in the U.S., but it totally depends on where the Fed starts giving less hawkish signals. But yes, if we do hit close to 5% of Fed funds, I think the probability of recession will be very, very high. It's almost like 80-90%.
And I guess then the question is, how deep is this recession? We're having calls that you could see some turnarounds in Asian equities in particular in 23 if it is a short recession globally or in the U.S. What's your view?
Short recessions are quite a utopic kind of outcomes. I don't think that if recession comes, it's going to last for less than a year. But you will see different countries come out differently or let's say relatively stronger, especially the ones which have more domestic demand. A lot depends on what's happening in China and what comes out of it. But countries where you have the commodities cycle in favor, let's say the Indonesia, or if you have domestic demand, let's say like in India or Vietnam, there is a lot more positivity possible over there in terms of the GDP growth. Currencies are a different ballgame altogether, though.
Well, let's touch on that very quickly in about 15 seconds. Is there much more in the way of dollar strength, do you think?
Yeah, given that the rate hikes and what the Treasury moves are showing, dollar strength is still in momentum. We were hoping and thinking that it's in the last leg, but and then towards the end of December it ends. But it looks like this dollar strength is likely to go into next year.
We want to get your thoughts in terms of what is attractive for Asian stocks when you look at the short-term horizon, given we are hoping that China's reopening will kick off in 23, and as we mentioned earlier, the US recession doesn't go beyond a year.
Yeah, so China definitely is in some kind of deep value territory. Well, there's a lot expected, in terms of COVID easing or other fiscal packages coming out of there. But we're waiting to see what happens this Sunday when the meeting kind of concludes and what the new leadership looks like. But in terms of looking forward, we're quite optimistic on how things could play out over there, especially since domestic demand is likely to be robust as COVID restrictions ease if they actually take an easy stance there. So, also, certain other economies like the Indonesians or Vietnam, India, as you spoke, with domestic demands should be quite robust.
So, Ashish, does that mean you add to positions or take new positions on the equity side, or are you more interested in fixed income opportunities at this point?
See, short dated fixed income in dollars, investment grade is a very clear winner. Today you have interest rates in short dated corporate bonds going to like 5%. which really makes it easy for certain portfolios to deploy cash, and that restricts the amount of money that can go into equities. So you see the traditional 60-40 portfolio, you need to have 60%, let's say, in equities to earn a particular return. Today, even with the 80-90% fixed income, you could get there. So definitely shorted IG is there. But at some point in time, when the rate hikes pressure is over and let's say inflation is tamed down, which you're hoping to see in Q1, then you should see the equity pullback coming in.
Interesting you highlight one of the problems in the UK pension fund system. And of course, that's all to do with the volatility we've seen in the last 44 days or so with sterling. What sort of stability do we see now? I know in Singapore and Parliament yesterday, they were talking about this too. Many people have pension funds in British pounds.
Yes, yeah, so clearly this kind of an uncertainty where there is a lack of clarity for the leadership or the economic packages, it's very unsettling for everyone, especially the pension funds and especially the people who have a large pension portfolio and dependency. So clearly the market wants to see a clear sign of leadership, which is why I think it's right that they are trying to get the next leader decided pretty much within 2-3 days or let's say a week. And that's the signal that the market wants to see. Because you cannot have this kind of a stability in markets if at the leadership level you don't have any clarity.
Speaking of instability in currency markets, the Japanese yen right now is trading on the weak side of 150 against the greenback, and Jules has been wondering for days now when Japanese authorities will intervene to support the currency. Do you think that's imminent, or are we a ways away from that?
I think we've started seeing more a verbal intervention talking about that we are okay with the depreciation and let the currency be weaker for longer. It's only the speed that matters and so on. Also, the last intervention in September was close to 20 billion. And if anything needs to be done, it has to be larger sized. And that intervention didn't really achieve much, right? You went from 146 to like 143 and then back to 150. So intervention, unless it's in size, it may not result in much. And I think that's where the BOJ is taking the right stance, which is talking about the speed of depreciation rather than the extent of depreciation.
All right, almost the end of October. Hard to believe. So only a couple of months left in the year. What's your kind of best bet to take advantage of all of the volatility? And of course, the fact, as we mentioned earlier, we still don't know what other risks could emerge. But if you had to take a bet today, what would you look at?
I'd still like to play it safe for next 2 months, you know, so whatever money people have made, or let's say not having for the losses, they're just going to preserve whatever cash you have, you know, deploying it in short-dated bonds, waiting for the 2 rate hikes to finish, and then hoping that the hawkishness that has been shown by Fed goes down, and then start the new year with some more positivity and coming back into risk assets.
All right, yes, let's hope it is a positive and calm new year. Ashish Chanda, founder and CEO at Crystal, on the line from Singapore. Probably not when we're all talking about recessionary concerns, though.